And Smashville, good morning, and thank you for joining us. Hour 2 of Morning Drive off and running here on this Monday, a Titans win. Your reaction Monday, 615-737-1025. We're going to get some calls here. We're going to get into whether or not 10 wins is attainable, but Constable Chase McCabe, let's get an update on our poll question of the day.
Yes, go to 1025_MD. It's a very simple question on this Monday. Are you a believer in the Tennessee Titans? 54% of you say yes, 46% say no. So pretty close right now, and a lot of you participating. You can go check that out. It's also at 1025 The Game. It has a link to it. So go follow us and vote in our poll question today.
Are you a believer? Are you a believer?
I'm a believer in taking some phone calls.
Yeah, let's take some calls. I still want to know what that means. Like, are you a believer in the Tennessee
team? Yeah, are you buying back in?
Is this team viable? Playoff push? Yeah. Possible division?
Because you got my back?
Remember what I said a couple of weeks ago? If they fell to 3-5, if they lost to the Cowboys and the Patriots, it was over. Season was a wrap.
But they won.
It's now officially full-time hockey until June.
Well, it would have been 3-6.
But they won.
Football
three
season has been saved, folks.
3-6 is far different.
Yeah.
Think about that.
I mean, I guess I was never not a believer, but I'm still not a believer of this team like winning a Super Bowl.
No, so, like, I'm not a believer.
That's what
of that.
I mean. Is what's the question? Like, how? Like, to me, the upside of this team has changed. That's for sure. Like, do I feel like they could win the division? Maybe get a wild card. Maybe win a playoff game. I think that's slowly starting to materialize and become more of a viable thing. But I think I've always been a believer of, because you and I, Nick, were getting questions on Twitter yesterday about Marcus.
That was ridiculous.
Does this finally end the Marcus conversation? And I'm like, I don't know why it was a conversation in the first place to begin with, because I've never been off the Marcus bandwagon.
Well, you and I are believers, and Derek said he was going to wait till the season was over to evaluate.
Like a normal, rational, logical human being, which, of course, fan isn't short for. It's short for fanatic. But I just think that there still is so much more to go. There's so much more to learn. Are there some really great, awesome, positive signs? Should Tennessee fans celebrate what they saw yesterday? Of course they should. That was one awesome performance by their football team. But you don't want it to be one celebratory Sunday in the middle of the season. You want to see it build into something, and that's what counts. And it may not materialize as a division championship or deep playoff run this year, but you got to admit you're starting to see signs of exactly why the move was made, because this all goes back to malarkey. This all goes back to moving on from malarkey and bringing in Mike Vrabel. John Robinson will be defined by that move and that move alone. Was it the right move? And right now we've seen Mike Vrabel outcoach Bill O'Brien. We've seen him outcoach Doug Peterson. And I'm sorry, he outcoached Bill Belichick. That staff as a whole, Dean Pease in particular, outcoached the Patriots yesterday. And we've seen them win games because the coaching staff helped out. And so I think that's what we're starting to see signs of.
They've given us a reason to keep watching. I mean, if they would have lost to the Cowboys and Patriots in a 6-day stretch, I mean, what are you looking forward to? At least we have something to get hyped up about and you know, a reason to stay invested, you know, emotionally and with your time. Because if they're 3-6, you might find some other things to do on your Sunday.
Yeah, you can find a few other things to do, you know, whether it's a – you know, watching the Preds play or going to a Pred game or a few things. Vanderbilt basketball, yeah. A few other things around town that, you know, people love to get into, whatever it is. You can find something to do if your team is not doing well. And the Titans, I don't know if they've saved their season, but at this point they still put themselves in a position where they're fighting for that, you know, those last two spots in the playoffs.
And think about this. You know that they have to get some of those national conversations now, right? Because it's the Patriots, you know, that the Patriots got beat. And they're going to get some national love on national shows, national conversation. But think about this. They got two nationally televised games coming up in the next couple of weeks. They got a Monday night game against Houston and a Thursday night game against Jacksonville. Two games in the division that could decide things for this franchise this season. And the AFC South, not to mention the game against the Colts. Then you get a home game against the Colts at the end of the season. Now, then you got some winnable games in there, right? I mean, you go Jets and Giants and Redskins. I mean, Redskins are a really good game. But if the Redskins are the division leader and the Titans are the division leader, there's a chance it's flexed. I mean, so there's a chance that the Titans could get two, maybe an additional nationally televised game from here on out.
I mean, look, we all realize this is a week-to-week league, but if they play the way they did yesterday against the Jets and the Giants, they'll beat them by 40. Those two especially teams are unmitigated disasters.
Especially the Jets. At least the Giants do have some playmakers. The Jets are just in a free-for-all right now, especially if Darnold doesn't play. Yeah. They're just a team just, you know, treading water right now, trying to stay above water.
615-737-1025. Let's get to your calls, your reaction, and we go to Justin in Greenbrier, who's up next on Morning Drive. What's up, Justin?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing this morning?
Doing well.
I'm good.
I'm doing real good. All four of my teams won this weekend. my Vols, of course, the Titans. I loved how they beat the Patriots. Springfield High School won in a tough
go Springfield.
Oh, yeah. They won in the pick six. But I want to talk about the game yesterday. I loved it because I can't stand the Patriots. That's one of the things I cannot stand. They're just so good. But Jonnu Smith, we got to talk about Jonnu. I mean, he played he caught the ball when it was thrown to him, and he was a playmaker on that team yesterday, and I'm very proud of him, too. So go Titans. Let's get this win next weekend and continue this win streak.
Y'all what's up, Justin?
I mean, I think we all agree on Jonnu. I just think it's hilarious that the analysis, which is spot on there, Justin, the analysis of Jonnu Smith is he caught the ball when they threw it to him. I mean, listen, you got to crawl before you can walk, right?
Did you see the way he discarded Patrick Chung?
Oh, dude.
When he turned up the sideline? That wasn't Vance McDonald, but it was still pretty nasty.
Well, no, but the touchdown. He ran away from Chung. He was in man-to-man covers with Chung and just torched him across the formation on the drag route. And Mariota found him. His athleticism has never been a question.
We said all summer he's
a great athlete.
We were at camp, I don't know how many days. I mean, he looks the part. Like, when you just physically look at him, you're like, that guy should be a freak tight end in the NFL.
Yeah, well, he's starting to hopefully come into form. And, you know, I know the Tennessee Titans are happy because Delaney's getting older. He will be returning from an injury. So they need someone that they can, you know, rely on that can be a playmaker at that position.
615-737-1025. Let's check in with Raymond in Wayne County, who's up next on Morning Drive. What's up, Raymond?
Oh, not too much. I'll have to say, yesterday I really wasn't going to be a believer in Tennessee winning that game. I even took my two-year-old to her first movie yesterday morning at the first show, and I got out there at halftime. I was like, what?
Raymond,
what happened here?
Raymond, but, what movie did you go to? I'm just curious.
The Grinch. The Grinch.
Okay.
I had to start her out with a classic.
Okay. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
I started watching Ghostbusters with my two-year-old. It might have been a bit too much and might have been some bad parenting on my part.
So you get out of the movies, you check on your phone, you see the score, and your jaw basically dropped?
Yeah. At that point, it's satellite radio the rest of the way back to the house.
Okay.
Well, that's good. I mean, I think a lot of people were, you know, just like the caller. They didn't have much faith in, they wanted the Titans to win, and they hate New England, but they didn't have much faith that the Titans are going to win. And, you know, lo and behold, you look up after the first quarter, it's 14-0.
Well, you picked them to win.
Yeah.
But I got to ask you, you're not a little bit surprised that they won by 24 points?
No, not one bit. Because I've seen Dean Pease versus this team.
I mean, he's had success against Brady, but to this effect?
I picked the Titans to win because of Dean Pease, not necessarily because of LaFleur and Marcus, but if you move Tom Brady around and make it uncomfortable for him, he tends to have a bad day. That's what the Lions did. They pushed him around. They got pressure up the middle. He was not able to just sit there and pick apart your defense. And Dean Pease has been – he's done it better than – anyone over the last, you know, 5 years making it hard for Tom Brady.
You would have laid 23.5 points to Nick Cale though on Friday.
Hex no.
There's no way you would have done that.
No, but I'm not
Nick, I'll give you 23.5 points. I'll take
but, I, but I'm not surprised that they beat him that way. I wouldn't have said, hey, listen, I put, you know, X amount of dollars
touchdowns?
Down that they beat him by 3.5 touchdowns. But if you said, well, do you think they would beat? Do you think they have a possibility? Yeah, I think they do.
Oh, you picked them.
But do I think it's going to happen? Probably not. But if it does, I'm not surprised.
Two of the three losses for the Patriots this year against either a former player or assistant of Bill Belichick's. Patricia, yeah, I think it was, and Vrabel.
Have some respect for the game.
It was two guys that coached for an individual and coached defense, not offense, defense. And yeah. Matt Patricia, who was the head of that defense, so he knows how to attack Tom Brady. And it was Dean Pease. It had nothing to do with LaFleur. I mean, it had nothing to do with Vrabel.
Ten points, right, in both games?
Yeah.
10 points against the Lions, 10 points yesterday.
But, correct. You know, Dean Pease, he was the defensive coordinator for that team, and then he coached against them several times.
Yep. All right, more of your calls when we come back, 615-737-1025. And also, Deion Lewis, very blunt yesterday, post-game, at his locker. And Derek Mason, not happy about it. That's next, Morning Drive. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Corey Curtis from News 2 is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We got to get to Deion Lewis in a moment, but let's get some of your phone calls in the meantime, 615-737-1025. And we say good morning to Will in Lebanon, who's up next on Morning Drive. What's up, Will?
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Good, man.
Doing good.
Good. Hey, go Titans. That was a fun game to watch yesterday, but I was listening to Jared and Floyd earlier this week, and they were talking about the impact that Gronk would have on the game, and the fact that he didn't play, I think, was huge. And, you know, shutting down, you know, Edelman was big, but do you think, I'm just going to ask a question and hang up, listen, how big of an impact would it have had on the game if Gronkowski had played yesterday? I just want to hear what you guys thought.
He's a great player.
Yeah, I mean, that's another big body that you got to account for. He's a matchup problem.
Closer outcome, but I don't think the Titans lose that game because of Gronk.
I don't think Gronk would have, you know, been responsible for 3 touchdowns. You probably would have lost, you know, 20-34 or 24-34. But Gronk, you know, like Kelsey, Gronk would have been a matchup problem because you can't cover him with Byard because he's too small. And maybe Janu, maybe Brown. That's probably the only guy that you can put on him because he has the speed. He somewhat has the size, even though, you know, he still doesn't because he and Byard are about the same size. but you think you would just say, well, because of his speed and his aggressiveness, that would probably be the guy that you match up with.
I think they clearly missed him. There's no question that the Patriots did not have that. Because here's the deal. Brady was under pressure, and he wants that safety valve. It's the same thing Marcus is missing when he didn't have Delanie Walker for the first few weeks. It's when you don't have that safety valve, that quick option when you're under pressure and there's people in your face and the blitz has been disguised and they're coming from different angles. Gronk is the guy you get the ball to. So Edelman turned into that guy over the middle and caught a lot of passes. I think Gronk would have had a big day, but to your point, I would have, should have, could have. There's no way to know whether or not he would have been the difference in the game or not. It's hard to see him being a 24-point difference maker, but they clearly missed him in a big way. Without him, their offense is totally different to defend. Without that kind of guy making those types of plays, he puts so much stress on your defense. And frankly, we saw it with the Chiefs last year. They could not cover Travis Kelce in the first half and were getting blown out. Kelce gets knocked out of the game, and a totally different second half plays out against Kansas City on the road last year.
Okay, so yesterday the stat sheet might not look that appealing for Deion Lewis, but he definitely set the tone, I thought, in the first quarter. A couple of good runs, really running physical, setting a tone, and obviously he had something to play for yesterday as a former New England Patriot. Here is Deion Lewis post-game in front of his locker room when asked if this matchup against New England was personal.
The real sweet win, you know, especially when you used to be there and they didn't want to bring you back, so definitely real sweet. I'm happy my teammates came out and played, and I love these guys.
So it is a little personal.
Hell yeah, it's personal. That's what happens when you go cheap, you get your ass kicked.
That was Deion Lewis. You go cheap, you get your you-know-what kicked.
Bleep, bleep.
Kick. Now, Derek Mason, you guys like that?
Well, I didn't have a problem with the first part of that where he says, listen, they didn't want to bring me back. I'm going to use that as motivation. That's kind of generic, right? Mm-hmm. And he answered the question and he stopped. So I think he did the right thing then. And then the reporter follows up and says, oh, so that was personal. And then he kind of just let it fly a little bit. And that's where I'll let Derek take over.
Okay. Deion Lewis, 2011, 23 rushes, 102 yards, 1 touchdown, -3 yards receiving. 2012.
That was for a season?
Yeah. Okay. 2012, 13 rushes, 69 yards, 1 touchdown. 24 yards receiving. 2015 through 2017, he averaged, 70-something rushes for, 500-and-something yards. And, for those years, he averaged about 25 catches, 20 to 25 catches, for over a three-year span, 200 yards per year, if that. So, Deion Lewis, before you got to New England, you were on your way out of the NFL. Didn't no other team want to, bring you in. But you got to New England, and New England helped you with your ability. New England put you in a position, as Bill Belichick has said, tell me what he does good, and that's all I want to know. Whatever he does well, I'm going to put him in a position to succeed. And then after that, after a few years, like anybody else, nobody's immune to being cut, not even Tom Brady. They had to send away Garoppolo in order for Tom Brady not to be cut eventually. So eventually, under Bill Belichick, he just moves on. I mean, he cut Randy Moss because he didn't want to pay him. He just moves on. It doesn't matter with him. He reloads every time. He's kind of like Nick Saban.
Well, and he certainly doesn't value the running back
position.
Yeah,
he reloads.
He'll put anybody in there.
Man, he doesn't.
He'll put Cordarrelle Patterson in.
Hell, he doesn't value any position other than a quarterback position, really, because he just reloads all the time. He's that good of a coach and that good of an evaluator that he makes sure he has people behind him. So, Deion, you did what you did in New England. They gave you an opportunity to go there and show your talent so then you can get paid by the Tennessee Titans. Here's twofold, okay? One, you did disrespect your former teams because what you said was, they chose to go cheap. Well, you don't – just because they're not paying white, are you saying the more money, you make, you automatically that makes you the better player? Is that what you're saying? Because I think White is a really good player. And eventually, I do to White what they did to Deion Lewis. So, in a sense, you are disrespecting the guys that you played for. Oh, you go cheap. You go with White. That's why you get your ass kicked. To me, there's a line that you don't cross, dude. They gave you an opportunity to build up your stock so you then can get a contract from the Titans. You know what you say? Hey, listen, it didn't work out. I'm fine here. They gave me an opportunity. I love it. But I'm moving on, We beat them, we move on. But this is the same thing. This is the same thing that we talked about a few weeks ago when they beat Philadelphia and everybody was screaming about respect. And then they come back and they lay an egg against Buffalo. It seems like this team, the minute they take two steps and they talk about team, they do an I thing. Yeah. You talk about team, then you do an I thing.
So not for the boys, but for me?
Yeah, it's for me. Yeah, I get it. You wanted to beat your former team. Everybody wants to beat their former team. Right. But don't come out and say, they chose to go cheap, so that's what happens. No, y'all were just a better. It had nothing to do with them going cheap.
Well,
it's just that y'all were the better team today.
No, no, because
we could say the Titans were cheap on a certain area.
He certainly got more from the Titans. He got $20 million. Well, he wasn't going to get that.
Oh,
from the
he
Patriots.
Wasn't going to get that for the Patriots. The Patriots, and he knew that.
But it doesn't. You're right. It doesn't have anything to do with the outcome of the game. Like the fact that they were going to go cheap with one running back and not with another. That doesn't affect the.
It's
outcome
not like
of the
they
game.
Paid. Yeah. They paid White and chose not
right,
to pay
right.
Lewis,
but.
They didn't pay. They don't pay anybody at that position.
This guy was the leading rusher for the best team in the NFL last year when they got to the Super Bowl. He won a ring with them 2 years ago. He was a critical member of this offense.
Was Randy Moss the best receiver in the league the year they chose not to re-sign him? Yep.
Well, there's complications there. Anyway, 27 years old, 3 seasons for the New England Patriots. I have no problem with the player saying, "Why didn't y'all want to bring me back? I'm going to go play really hard against you." I don't think you need to say it like he said it in the post game. I think it just sort of all it does is call attention to you for a reason that you don't really need it to. But if you're going to – I also have no problem with him saying, hey, I really wanted to stay a New England Patriot, and they weren't willing to pay me the money because they didn't think I was worth the investment. That makes them cheap in my eyes. I got no problem with him feeling that because, again, he won a Super Bowl. He led the NFL in yards per carry last year. This was the most important – he was the most important running back on the team at the time the last 2 seasons. Now, the NFL is a league where you're supposed to get paid for what you're going to do, right? Not what you did do, but sometimes that's not the case. I think it can be both. I think in the NFL, you have to acknowledge that teams are going to be shrewd, and they're going to move on from players sometimes before that player wants to, right? Because it has to save the team some money. But then I think the other side of this equation is it's okay for a player to be like, man, they didn't want me. I'm going to take it personally because they didn't want me. And I think it's okay for both sides of the equation to be reality. The question is, do you come out and say a snarky one-liner in a post-game press conference, or are we being sensitive to that or not? Or that's sort of, to me, where the gray area is.
We've seen over the last 6 days now, we've seen a safety run and dance on a star. We've seen a running back drop a few expletives at his locker about being disrespected. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Over the last 6 days, we're finally seeing some personality from this team.
Yeah, you are. I
mean, there's some edge there, man.
Let's be real. There's no Odell Beckhams on this team. Mm-hmm. There's no locker room cancers. If I got a guy with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder that says A-double-S and a guy who jumps on the star, which I would love to do personally because I despise that whole venue. Yeah, I love it. Give me something to get. You're winning, you're performing, and you're showing a little entertainment. I'm in.
Well, it's about the edge, too. Like, and we talked about this in Tennessee Vols. Mm-hmm. Like, that Tennessee Vols team looked like a confident, physical football team for the first time in, like, how many years? And that's what you want, is you want a team that has that edge, that physicality, that confidence. And the Titans, you know, in the last couple of weeks are starting to get some of that. The question is, don't go too far with it,
well,
right?
Well, Vrabel's going to bring him into office and say, listen, kid, exactly. you can't disrespect the game like that. You know, regardless, you know how the game works, because we're going to cut you. We're going to cut you.
Eventually.
After this contract is done, we're going to cut you too. And not because we want to go cheap or anything, but because we're just moving in another direction. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with New England.
But
hey, listen, they just wanted to move in another direction. They drafted Sony Michel, and they hope that they can get out of Sony Michel what they got out of Deion Lewis for those few years. They hope they can get more. That's just the way the business works,
and
you move on, and yeah, you can be upset, but to me, it's the...
But real quick, we got to get to Corey Curtis. Does anybody in that locker room, other players, hear Deion Lewis' soundbite this morning and think, that's a selfish guy?
No.
I don't think that's why I don't have a problem with it.
I think they probably think, man, he shouldn't have said it, because we might have to play this team again. We might have to play this team again. And you were not effective in this game. Just think when we play them again.
All right. Coming up next.
It tends to come back and bite you in the butt.
And they could be going to Foxborough.
Exactly.
Which is always tough. Corey Curtis, News 2. We'll talk to him about the Titans and the Patriots. He was at the game yesterday. You get his reaction coming up next here on Morning Drive. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good to have you in on this Monday as the Titans take it to the Patriots, 34-10 yesterday at Nissan Stadium. And joining us at this time every Monday is Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
We are doing excellent. So when you look at it from this standpoint, if you were beginning to maybe fall off the Titan bandwagon prior to the Dallas game and prior to the Patriot game, has these last 2 weeks kind of made you buy back into what this team could potentially be for the stretch run and maybe into January?
Well, I don't know if you've looked at the stadium lately, but I don't know that there's many people who were on the Titans bandwagon to begin with. But maybe this will start to get some people on it. I don't think just the last 2 weeks. I think the last three. I think you have to go back to London, where this team really started to get on track. They started to run the football and started to find the end zone a little bit. You know, that's what gave me some confidence about yesterday going into the game, was kind of the track that they were playing on, you know, that the defense was continuing to play well in the red zone. They were the least penalized team in the league. And most encouraging to me, and I think I brought it up with Derek last week, was, you know, that they've settled in on the run game. They've dedicated to the run game, and it's setting up everything else on their offense. And you felt like if they could do some of those things that they would have a shot. I just know they would do them all, and they did.
Now, Corey, for a second week, Janu has found his way in the end zone. This offense seems to, when they can incorporate the tight end, it seems to run a little bit more fluent. It seems that Marcus feels a little bit more comfortable when he knows he has that outlet of the tight end. Moving forward, do you see Janu becoming a bigger and bigger part of what LaFleur is trying to do? Because he's, if you look at it, he's Delanie Walker sort of on steroids, because he's much faster. His hands are not as reliable as Delanie. And I'm not saying he is Delanie, but he gives you something that you missed when Delaney was injured?
Well, I mean, you know, he's not Delaney. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. But he clearly looks like a different player these last 2 weeks. And I think confidence is a big weapon. And I think, you know, that performance in Dallas made him look like a different player. And you see the difference when a guy makes three plays to win a game instead of two plays to lose it. Just what a difference that can make for you. But, yeah, I mean, if you've got three or four guys out on a pass route and you can't trust one of them to catch the football and you're not even looking at them, which we kind of saw a few weeks ago, it takes away options. And when all your options are now open, I think it makes things different. I mean, it makes the offense better because, you know, he was a liability before, and now he's not a liability if he can continue to make plays. I mean, those, you know, the way he caught that one ball and snapped around, I mean, that was a confident move. That was a decisive move. And you see the speed and the power he's got. That's why they drafted the young man. And so, yeah, I mean, it's very, very encouraging to see him. He was its first Titans receiver with two touchdowns. That's crazy. And so, yeah, I mean, it can certainly be something else that takes this offense to the next level because, you know, when Matt LaFleur came in here, I mean, how much time did he spend working on incorporating the tight end into the offense? Because Delaney Walker's a three-time Pro Bowler.
Corey, is it just – so as much as I find myself researching offensive numbers and tweeting about the offense and about Matt LaFleur and about Marcus the entire day, I feel like the defense really was the bigger story. You hold him to 10 points, and Tom Brady looked flustered the entire time. Now, this team has struggled to stop the run over the course of this season. Malcolm Butler's been roasted on more than one occasion. What is it that Dean Pease was able to do yesterday that he can then take and use against other teams, or is it just a Tom Brady thing that he's good at?
Well, I mean, I think it's complimentary, like you said. They handed the offense some short fields, which helped as well, and the offense converted. And when they put Brady down and the Patriots down, Patriots aren't used to playing from behind. Now, they can certainly do it. They've done it. We have seen it. But putting them from behind, you know, really hurt, really helped the defense as well. So each side helped out each other. But, you know, Brady's not mobile, which, you know, most of the quarterbacks we've seen them play this year are mobile. So when you take his receivers away and you take his run game away, there's not a lot left. You know, with Mariota and some of these mobile guys, when you take some of those things away, they can extend and they can maybe create a little bit. You know, Tom is so accurate and so smart. I mean, you could just see the frustration yesterday. Look, their DBs, that was easily the best game they played. Adoree Jackson was absolutely sensational covering Josh Gordon. You know, Logan Ryan, you know, arguably played his best game. And, you know, we kept waiting to see 21 chasing someone from behind, and we didn't see it. You know, they played a spectacular game yesterday. I was especially impressed with the way they took away the short passing game. You know, James White came in with over 60 receptions. He got absolutely lit up by Kenny Vaccaro on that first pass. And, you know, and from that point on, you know, they just kind of took that away. You know, as for the defensive run game, again, that started getting better against the Chargers, and it's been good the last 3 weeks. So whatever changes they've made, whether it be schematic or just guys being more disciplined in what they're supposed to do at the point of attack, you know, it's been trending in that direction. So I think that's absolutely something we should look more for as the season goes on. Can we look for another performance like that in the secondary? I don't know. I mean, that was absolutely sensational. If they can be that good again, look out.
Talking to Corey Curtis, News 2, joining us here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Corey, we saw this team put together a three-game winning streak, and then after that, the bottom kind of fell out a little bit. They lost three in a row. When you look at this team, are they more equipped now than before to handle prosperity? And how does Vrabel get that message across that, you know, they're playing well, but this is a week-to-week league?
Well, Nick, I think it's a great point, and it's something that's really impressed me about this coaching staff has been their ability to learn. You know, I felt like they learned they needed to run the football more and be more aggressive, and they've done that. I also think they learned that Philadelphia win was too big of a win for this team. And they came out and weren't ready at Buffalo. I mean, they just they laid turd on the field in Buffalo. They weren't ready to play. And so when you saw them beat the Cowboys on Monday night, Mike Vrabel was really boring in his post-game presser and just was like, I told him congratulations and let's go get ready for the next one. And they were really boring after this win because they're understanding that if the win is too exciting and too big, you know, yes, it's okay to enjoy it, but it has to be the expectation. And if it's the expectation, it doesn't become this overwhelming emotional high that you can't recover from. And I think, you know, that's why you hear them say the boring things of getting ready for the next one. It's a step in the process because it's all about creating that mentality of getting ready for the next game and not being too overjoyed with one victory because there's a long way to go. And I think their mentality, even just post-game, has changed.
Now they go out and they draft two young who they hope to be studs on the defensive side of the ball at linebacker. But what is showing up is that one guy has become the playmaker, so to speak, and it's Jayon Brown. Quickly, just talk about how much of an impact he has been on this defense this whole season. Because to me, other than Casey, he's been the guy that teams need to try to stop now.
Yeah, I thought Harold Landry was good yesterday. I thought Wesley Woodyard was outstanding yesterday. And I think week in and week out, you're right, Jayon Brown is making plays. They drafted him for his speed, and his speed and relentless effort, you know, shows up, you know, all over the place because, I mean, the guy makes plays sideline to sideline. And who knew, what's he got, 4.5 sacks now?
Mm-hmm.
Who knew he was going to be able to pull that off? But you know, Dean Pease has added that to his kind of repertoire. You know, when they brought him in mainly to be a cover guy. But when you can shoot that gap and you've got that extra half step, you know, it can be enough. And he has been, you know, look, the good ones jump off the page. When Mace played, you jumped off the page, you know, on the offensive side. And right now, Jayon Brown is jumping off the page for the Tennessee Titans. And I don't want to say it's a pleasant surprise because most people thought he was a nice young player, but it's a pleasant surprise because he's been a difference maker for this team.
Corey, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time, and we'll chat next week. Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Yep.
You got it. Corey Curtis, News 2, joining us as he does every Monday after a Titans game. When we come back, you know, we've talked about the Titans, home win, upset, dominating fashion. We've talked about the Vols, home win, upset, dominating fashion. Got to talk about the Road Warriors. That's next on Morning Drive.
What a rush!
Very
Animal
fitting.
And Hawk.
Animal and Hawk, the Road Warriors.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was audio from Chase going to the bathroom.
I liked it. It's a car.
I was like, how did we get audio of the bathroom?
How did we get audio of Chase in the bathroom?
Oh, wow.
Was it a linebacker or was it a defensive end?
Definitely a defensive
People
end.
People just think when we get injured, we just go to the bathroom and Chase creates another player.
That was a defensive end because it sounded like that.
That was a nose tackle. I'm sorry. I'm not a wrestling guy, so I heard that. I just said, "What is going on,
man?"
We have lost Nick Kale.
That's the funniest thing you've ever said.
Oh my goodness!
Thank you. So, number one, first of all, Nick, we did not address this with you about a week and a half ago. You said talk about in an interview, so you put a dollar in.
We don't have a. We need to get a dollar jar, like sit it on the thing.
Can we use your oatmeal?
Look. I would say we should put a dollar, or we should put a jar in the studio to put money in, but somebody around here will probably steal it.
You're right about that.
So it's the proverbial jar.
No, what we do is you would lock it up, and we would lock it up every day after the show.
So here's the deal. I'm very proud of us because we implemented the talk about jar probably like 3 months ago?
Yeah.
Like a while ago. Mm-hmm. And the talk about jar is if you ask a question of a guest by using the phrase talk about.
Talk about your clothes.
Talk about your schedule.
Coach, talk about your schedule.
Coach, talk about your mindset. So you get, we have a jar. And if you say talk about as any of us on the show, then you put a dollar in the jar. Nick, you've done it one time. Only one time since we implemented this. Derek, you just did it last segment.
Hey, Corey, talk about Jonnu Smith.
Coach, talk about your schedule.
So, Corey, can you just talk about Jayon Brown for me?
Can you talk about Jayon Brown?
I'm actually super proud of our show that we've only done it two times in like 3 or 4 months. Every other show, TV, radio, whatever, says this all the time, and I'm anti-talk about.
Hey, Chase, talk about your night last night. Talk about the trip up to Knoxville, Chase.
Chase, hey, Ricky, talk about Friday night.
Please don't.
So
talk about the tailgate.
Nick, talk about the Preds.
Yeah.
So speaking of going on the rush, the Preds were on the rush Saturday in Dallas. They get that 5-4 win in overtime. But the reason we came back from the break with the Road Warriors theme, This team is 8-0 away from Bridgestone Arena, and they were down 3-1 Saturday. And it might have got lost in the shuffle because they were going up head-to-head against the Vols and a lot of football games.
Right.
But that was a really good win.
At really early time slot. Here's the one thing I took away from this, because Yossi scores with about, 35 seconds to go to tie the game, to send it to overtime. Here's the two passes. The Ryan Johansson pass to Roman Yossi to tie the game with 35 seconds to go, and the Kyle Turris pass on the break to Matias Ekholm in overtime. Those are two of the sweetest passes I've seen all season. And this is a season where Ryan Johansson is doing this every single night. Those are two unbelievable passes. Distributors, the two top centermen for this team, making critical plays in critical situations to set up teammates to score. And then Matias Ekholm and Roman Yossi both bury their chances to get that win. That was one heck of a 2 points from the Predators, and now 8-0 on the road. And I believe the record is 10-0. Is that correct to start a season? Chaser, can you check that for me? I want to say it's 10-0 on the road to start a season is an NHL record. They're a couple of wins away, and oh, by the way, they get a bunch of road games this week. I think they got 3 more road games this week. They got a chance to break the NHL record.
This team, and it's crazy, the more and more I look at it, they are going down, and it's ironic that the coach that took this team was the coach for the Nashville Predators and Trotsky. But don't it seem like the Nashville Predators are going down that same road why am I forgetting the team now? That won the championship last year. Washington Capitals. I was thinking Washington Wizards for some reason. Washington Capitals.
Washington Bullets.
Yeah, that too. But they're going down the same road, so to speak, where, you know, for the last 2 years, or at least last year too, where you were just assumed because you were the best team, president, you know, trophy, that you were going to win the championship. And it wasn't until the pressure was off, you know, you were kind of like, okay, they're a good team. We're going to move on to the next really good team and show them more attention. Now it seems like, okay, the pressure's not on us. Now we're just going to go out and play. And it would be crazy if they do indeed win a championship this year, the year where, you know, where they might not win the President's Trophy or someone's not looking for them, not making them the favorite to win the Stanley Cup. Like, this would be the year, because now the pressure's not on. We can just go out here and play. We got the players to do it. We just go out here and play now and, you know, just go out and win the cup, because no one's picking us, you know, to seriously win it. Yeah, we'd be in the mix.
Well, it's funny. We
but nobody
about it
seriously
Friday,
pick us to win it.
None of the guys on ESPN, whether it's Wyshynski or Kaplan or anybody else, picked the Preds, and nobody was willing to change their prediction and say, yeah, the Preds are going to win it. And here they are, 13-3, 10-0.
It's funny how you can play more relaxed, and it's crazy, any sport, how you can play more relaxed when the pressure is not on you from the world to win a championship. It's just, now you can just go out and just,
okay. Do you
think
there's less pressure, though, so let's say any sport, when you are the President's Trophy version of your sport, no matter what sport it is, the number one seed in the East in the NBA or the NFL or, you know, whatever, is there not just inherent pressure to come back and, if you're the President's Trophy winner and then you don't win it, that same thing. Like, if like I remember the Packers going 15-1 one year,
mm-hmm.
and then losing in the playoffs. There seems to be more pressure. Like, I see what you're saying. I think the city is more tempered this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, us as Predators fans, we're more like, all right, fine, nice, great start. Get to the halfway mark. Let's get to the two-thirds mark. Let's get to the end of the season. Let's get to the first round. Like, it's a much more tempered approach from the fans. But I still think the national media, if they were to win the President's Trophy again mm-hmm. and then fall short in the second round, I think there'd be a lot of conversations about why can't this team get over the hump. But that's so far down mm-hmm. the road, and they don't seem to be playing with that type of mentality. I think the city and the team and everybody, there's a different level of sort of mental focus, I think, with this team this year.
Is it as simple as they're just flat out better than everybody else? Like,
yeah.
We always say about the Golden State Warriors, their roster is just too good. Is the Predators roster just flat out better?
It's not the same gap as the NBA.
Yeah, no. It's not the gap. But I think if no one gets injured, I think you can say the Predators from top to bottom flat out coaches everybody. They have the best team in the NHL.
I think Western Conference, yes.
Yeah, so but it's, to me, it's one of those things where, you know, from a national standpoint, yeah, it's going to be there, but I don't think the players, because when you're trying to achieve that one goal that you set, like, okay, yeah, we want to be in the Stanley Cup final. We've already experienced that. So that's not what we want to win next time. We just don't want to get there. We want to win. But I think they put so much energy to winning the President's Trophy last year that it took something out of them in the playoffs. Well, this year, I don't think that's the approach. I don't think the approach is to, okay, now we're going to put everything toward winning the President's Trophy and getting home ice advantage. I don't think, yeah, they want to do it, but I don't think that's their, like, end-all, be-all. I think their end-all, be-all, let's get to the playoffs, and then a new season start, and then let's show people who we truly are.
Preds in Anaheim tonight. The Ducks, surprisingly, below 500 this year, and then they go back-to-back road games tomorrow night at the Shark Tank. So Preds won't be back home again until, I believe, Saturday. And it feels like they've been away forever.
Well, and
I think it's been like 2 weeks.
What is it, 4 games in 6 days, right?
Yeah, well, it's a 5-game road trip. So
starting tonight, tomorrow, Thursday, Saturday, it's 4 games in 6 days.
That sounds mm-hmm. right.
It's a lot of hockey.
But see, like, and Nick, you're new here. They take this long trip every year because the CMA awards take over the arena. Mm-hmm. So,
well, they're taking over opposing arenas is what the Predators are doing.
Yes.
And winning.
Yes.
Is that because they're 8-0 on the road?
Because they're 8-0. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Because it's their road trip. You know what I'm saying?
Like rat poison.
Exactly. Don't buy into it. Don't take the bait, as Braden Golan said.
Don't take the bait.
All right, when we come back, we'll get back to your Tennessee Titans 34-10 beatdown of Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the New England Patriots. Are you once again a believer in the Titans? We're back after this on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.